don't see, or, you know, something like that. Well, there may be something that you see. I've been a student of the Word of God for at least 25 years now. And I'm riding down the road this morning, and I've always heard the talk about Adam being the first man and the second man is the Lord. And I'm going through, and I'm thinking all of these different things, and right there, plain as day, in Scripture, Paul calls the Lord the second man. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, here I am, been debating this in my mind. I know y'all have never debated something in Scripture in your mind before. Been debating this in my mind, pastoring a church, serving the Lord, and yet I needed something from the Lord that only He could give. And it took in His time. So you might read a passage and you might not get it. I don't know how many times I've read. I know for the last 8 years since I've been here, I have read the Bible through every year. I know that. So at least 8 times I have read across that passage of Scripture and didn't see that it was plain as day right in front of my eyeballs. So when we read the Bible, when we study the Bible, when we look at things, the Lord will open up our eyes for us. And I thought while I was riding in work, that's such an elementary thing, y'all. Maybe some of you Bible studiers, you might be thinking, well, that's a big deal to you, but some of you thinking, man, you didn't know that. I knew it. I just didn't know it. Does that make sense? I needed it confirmed, and the Lord did that for me. Well, anyway, I was studying, thought about preaching about that tonight, and just couldn't get any peace on that. And so I went back and found my old friend Josiah. So let's take a look at Josiah, 2 Kings 22. We're going to read this whole chapter. It's only 20 verses long. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adadiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that he have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. Let me stop right there. What a testimony. We ain't even got to worry about keeping up with the money, because we know these guys are going to be faithful with it. Verse 8, let's continue. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again, and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Acher the son of Mechahiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the king, a servant of the king's, saying, go ye, inquire the Lord for me, for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahi went unto Hudlah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhes, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace, and thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. We'll stop reading right there. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I called him my friend Josiah because there's a lot about him that's pretty interesting. Now, the book of the Chronicles lets us know that Josiah did some pretty incredible things, not only when he was, well, he is a young man, so he's 8 years old when he inherits the kingdom. And the Bible says he did in chapter 22 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, that he went after his father David. Now that doesn't mean, let me say this, that doesn't mean that he was a direct child of King David. It means that he was in the lineage of David. Now you may not know, the reason that it noted that he is a king of Judah is because at this time in Israel's history, they're split into two kingdoms. You have Israel, which is one kingdom, which is 10 tribes, and then you have Judah, which is made up of the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, those two tribes. And so you have the kingdom that is split because of what happened after Solomon when his children, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, what took place with that. And we don't have the time to go through the history of Israel, but that's why the Bible denotes where he was and what he was and who he was, that he was the king of Judah. So it's letting us know who he's following. And it tells us in Chronicles about his dad is a wicked man. His grandfather was Manasseh. He was a wicked king. Amon, A-M-O-N, was his father, and he was also wicked and done the wickedness of Manasseh. But here is this king who is only 8 years old, and he decides that he is going to do, as the Bible says in verse number 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David his father and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left hand. Now, you'll have to forgive me. I did not look up in, I think it's 2 Chronicles 32. That is the chapter that is chronologically in line with where Josiah was, and it tells that this is happening when he sends them to go in his 18th year of being king, that he's 8 years old, 8 plus 18, what is that, y'all, 24? 26, thank you, Brother Steve. You should have been a mathematician. I knew I could have called on you for that. And he's 26 years old, and he's doing that which is right in the Lord. He's seeking to rebuild the house of the Lord. The book of Chronicles also tells us that 8 years into his reign, so when he was 16 years old, that he was really pricked in the heart to see Israel, or to to see Judah come back to what it had been and to go back to being right with the Lord. And so this young man is a young king, and he's serving the Lord with fervency. I believe what makes Josiah so appealing to me is that I think about how I was when I was 16 years old. Now, I don't remember much about how I was when I was 8 years old. I probably, if I could describe myself in one little way, one little word, it'd probably be chubby. Amen. When I was 8 years old, that'd be about all I remember. And then 16 years old, I can honestly say, not proudly, but I can honestly say and transparently say that I was not seeking the Lord when I was 16 years old. I wasn't interested in the things of God. I wasn't interested in church. I wasn't interested in serving the Lord. And so when I read about a young man who is at 16 years old is pricked in the heart and desiring to serve the Lord, so much so that he steers an entire nation in the right way that God wanted them to go. I read to you this whole chapter in chapter 22 because I wanted you to see the different things that God does. One, he had surrounded himself with some good men. So here's this king. If you go back and you look at some of the other kings of Israel, let's take Ahab, for instance. I mean, he surrounded himself with wicked people. Ahab had an opportunity to be a good and right king, but he was wicked. He was ungodly. He started out somewhat good, and then he's influenced by other people. There was even one king, I believe it was Rehoboam and Jeroboam, I can't remember which one of them was, that actually made fun of the father of the then sitting king, talking about his bravery and his what he would have done and some of the talk. And so when you get to Josiah and you read about him being a young man that still wanted to be godly, that's pretty impressive. That we see a young generation that wants to serve God and he wants truth. He doesn't want what when I look at Josiah, I don't see him wanting what I wanted when I was 16 years old. When I read about Josiah, I don't see him wanting what I wanted even when I was 26 years old. I mean, you think about what he has done. The prophetess Huldah, the prophetess in verse number 14, who was the wife of Shalom, she goes and pronounces judgment on Israel and tells them in verses 15, 16, and 17 that they're going to basically, hey, I'm gonna deal with you. God's going to give judgment to all the wickedness. Most of the time when a young person is brought up in a household that is wicked, they are influenced by that household more than they are influenced by God. And that's just the way that it goes. And you see people who come up in a wicked environment, a wicked home, and we almost don't give them the opportunity to become anything more than what their family is. We look at them, well, he ain't never going to mount nothing, or she ain't never going to mount nothing. Look what her daddy was, or mama. And I'm glad to tell you that God can take what the world views as a already broken and ruined life and use it for his honor and his glory and can change an entire nation just by one person being godly. So in verse, let's see here. I want to go back to that. I mentioned a little while ago about he surrounded himself with good men. He tells them to go, in verse 4, to go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum up the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered for the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work. So we're going to get everybody paid. We're going to rebuild the temple. We're going to rebuild the church. We're going to make everything right. And I want you to give it to the doers of the work. I want to pay them directly. They're going to repair the house of the Lord. They're going to repair the breaches of the house. The carpenters, builders, and masons is what they took to buy timber, to buy stone. But verse number 7, I stopped on it and talked about it just for a minute. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand because they dealt faithfully. You think about the caliber of individual that it takes where when you give them a sum of money, you don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to do what they say they're going to do with money. Amen? I always get a little bit scared when somebody gives me cash and tells me, hey, give this to somebody else. Uh-huh. Now I'm taking a testimony into my bosom. And if it doesn't go, here's what I do like about when somebody hands me something and says, preacher, I want you to, and this happens quite, especially around this time of year, preacher, I don't want them to know it come from me. I want you to give so-and-so this money. And you just tell them it come from an anonymous donor. Got it. And they look at me and smile at me, and I'm like, hey, it ain't me. It's the Lord. Amen. And I give it to them, and here's what I like. The Lord take that money, and he will put it in my pocket, and it will burn a different kind of hole. I can't get rid of it. You know what I'm talking about. I can't get rid of it fast enough. But I also know that I can't touch it. Does that make sense? That ain't my money. I'm just the vessel that gets to carry what I'm just the conduit. Amen? I'm just the pipeline that it comes through. That's what these men were. They were just the pipeline. They were just the conduit. But they were so faithful in what they did. They were so honest. You think about even in the days when Jesus walked the face of the earth, Matthew was a tax collector. Tax collectors were hated. They were hated because they would take more than what they were supposed to, and they would pad their pockets with it. So you think about what the Bible says, that these people were the keepers of the door, that what they had gathered, that means when you came into the city, you paid the contribution. You paid the tax. But these weren't the regular tax keepers. These weren't the regular tax man. These weren't the regular revenuers. These guys were honest. And so they came to a place where they didn't even have to reckon what kind of money was being spent because they were faithful in what they were spending. Not only were they faithful in what they were spending, but the builders and carpenters, builders, and masons. I might as well just get like one of those old school magnifying glasses, you know, if I'm not going to use them properly. But if I do this, I can't see y'all. I do this, I can see you good. The doers of the work of the house, it wasn't just the keepers of the money, it was the carpenters that were honest. I believe when they were working, them guys would say, hey, you know, I worked 8 hours, I only expect to get paid for 8 hours. Not, I worked 8 hours, I think I'm just going to go ahead and write 10 down. They were dealing faithful. I worked 6 hours, but I did have to get up out of bed a little earlier today. I think I'll just write 8 down. Man, it's quiet right there. But the builders, the carpenters, and the masons, they were honest people. So Josiah had surrounded himself with good, godly men that had an impact on his life and on his leadership and on his kingdom. And so when the time come for God to pronounce judgment, when it came time let me say this. They were faithful in how they dealt with things. They were faithful in what they did. But they were also faithful when they found, verse 13 says that he has told them to go and inquire the Lord. Did I skip? Verse 8, I'm sorry. My mind's kind of bouncing around and I don't have an outline here. I hope y'all don't mind this unoutlined stuff. I've been doing it a lot here lately. I almost felt sorry for my Sunday school class Sunday morning. I felt like I was scatterbrained and all over the place, but they smiled and nodded, so that was all that happened. Amen. But verse 8 says, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I like these words, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. So, when the kings of Israel started, the first king was King Saul. I guess we are going to go through a brief history of Israel's kings. The first king was Saul. Saul disobeyed God. Samuel said, hey, you're going to lose your kingdom because you disobeyed me. And we'll give it to another. We had already anointed, and God had appointed David to be the king of Israel. And so through a long series of events, David finally ascended to the throne, and he is the king. David sins against God. Out of that sin, a child is born that dies. After that child is born to the same woman, another son is born. His name is Solomon. Solomon, even though he has older brothers, is brought up and put in place as the next king. Solomon, he's like his daddy. I'm just being honest. He liked the girls too. Y'all okay? It might not be the right way to say it, but he liked them too. And because of that, that was his downfall. That was what got him. He was known as the wisest man to ever walk the face of the earth. But because of the lust of his flesh, it brought him down. Out of his kingdom, there were those that disagreed with him, and he had a son who was wicked. Probably because he had seen his daddy act wicked in his older years. Amen. And those two got to fighting, and it divided the kingdom. So we didn't even make it four generations into the being the king of Israel before the house Israel is divided. And now we come down through here, and we have generation after generation after generation of king. And in 1 Kings 22, we are about 300 years past King David and King Saul. That's chronologically where we're at. And the king of Judah, even though he was 8 years old, had never heard about the book of the law. The high priest, the holy man, says, I have found a book. Think about how far Israel had gone away from God from the time of King David and King Saul until Josiah is reigning in Judah, and I'm not sure exactly who is reigning in Israel right now. We could go back and look. I know I've read it, but I can't recall it to my memory right now as to who is in Judah. And you think about how far away those two kingdoms had came from God, so much so that they didn't have the book of the law in front of them. This was the book of the law was how they practiced their faith. It was how they believed everything that they said they believed. What was? The book. It was why that they practiced what they practiced. It was why that they had the Lord's house in the first place, was because God had given them instructions on how He wanted it to look and how He wanted it to be. And we go through a lot of crazy stuff that they did, a lot of idol worship, a lot of ungodliness that happened in Israel's history, so much so that we get to this young king's life who is 26 years old before the priest says, I found a book of the law. And the priest, can you imagine that? You ever been going through old stuff, maybe that somebody had, and you find something super interesting? I know my dad has pictures of my great-grandparents, and their fashion is much different than ours were. And my grandmother had a picture of her mother, and she's in the typical early 1900s, the white shirt with a collar up to her neck and a long flowing dress, and you know, she's no smile on her face. She's just standing there. That's what they did back then, you know. I don't know why they didn't at least smile at the camera. I guess they thought it was going to get their, I don't know. I don't need to go off into that. But it was just the way that they did pictures then, you know. They couldn't just whip out their iPhone and take a selfie And so they took everything very serious. But same way with my grandparents, my great-grandparents on the white side of my family, the white as in the last name, the white side of my family. Saying that just to make clear, y'all okay? Y'all all right? I said that one time at the Atlanta City Badgers Rescue Mission. This black guy come up to me, and he said, I knew you was black. Not, man, but thanks. I appreciate it. And so my great-grandmother on that side of the family, they were poor. They're dirt poor. And the only picture that I know of them, they're standing out in front of their house, and he's got an old pair of tattered overalls on. My great-grandmother has an old dress on, and it's tattered and worn. And I think he's standing there barefooted, and she's got on some old black shoes, you know. But now my grandparents on the Agin side of the family, they were a little bit more affluent, and they're standing in front of a nice looking car, and got a suit on and a nice suit, or she's got nice clothes on, and so a little bit different, two different things. But I remember the first time that I was going through those things, and I looked at those pictures, I was just kind of in awe. And I flipped them over, and my grandmother on the one of my great grandmother, her mother, I flipped it over, and she had written her name and her date of birth and her date of death, and it was just very interesting. I was just, wow, this is great. This is incredible what I'm finding out here about my family, man. And then same way with the pictures that Dad had. And I remember we were going through some stuff that Dad had gotten from my grandparents' house, and we were going through those, and we found like an old newspaper clipping, and we found some different important documents and different things like that. And we looked at them, we were just sitting there, and we read them, and we're like, wow, they paid $2 for, you know, groceries this week or some crazy thing like that. It was just incredible. Those feelings, I believe we've all experienced something like that at some point in time in your life. At least I hope you have anyway. Maybe that's what Hilkiah, about called him the wrong one. Hilkiah, when he picked up that book, oh, you know there was dust on that thing. And he opened it up. And Hilkiah had known Manasseh, and he had known Amon, and he had known the fathers of Israel, and he knew what Israel was like. Can you imagine him opening up that book, and maybe he landed on Exodus 20? Thou shalt not. No other gods before me. You imagine how he must have felt, how he was stunned at what he was reading? Love the Lord thy God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind. Oh, I got to show this to the king. Look here, man. This says we're not supposed to eat the stuff we've been eating. Amen. Am I reading this right? Do you think Moses wrote this? Can you imagine? He's heard about Moses all his life. He's heard the preaching. I wonder if if they had, I don't guess they would have had the actual tablets because the Ark of Covenant was gone already. But I wonder if they found the, we would call them relics, in the house of God. But the main thing that he wanted to do was tell the king about the book of the law that he had found in the house of God. Shaphan read that thing. They went in verse number 13, they inquired, the king tells them, I want you to go and inquire of the Lord. And so they went down to Huldah's house. And she told them, she said, look, tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring, verse 16 is where we're at, I'll bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of this book which the king of Judah hath read. Boy, I bet there was some heartbreak in that sentence. You fisting to get everything. You fisting to get it all. But the man, because he was, his heart was tender, and he humbled himself before the Lord. He said, I'm not going to do these things. God withheld judgment on Israel because of Josiah the king, his tender heart and his humble, or his humility. Jump into chapter 23 and verse 21 with me real quick. We might get done a little early again tonight. We'll see. Are you getting something out of tonight? Yep. Verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. It wasn't just the book of the law. This was the covenant that God had made with his people. And the Passover is back. Idolatry is out the window. We're not dealing with that no more. He's rebuilt the house of God. He's tore down, by this time, he's tore down all the wicked things that were going on. And he says, we're going to keep the Passover unto the Lord. We're going to remember what happened in Egypt all those years ago. We're going to commemorate that. That's what the Passover means. We're going to remember that blood of the lamb was struck on the side post and across the top of the door to spare the Hebrew firstborn. We're going to remember that. We're going to remember that God brought them out of Egypt. He's got them back to a place where they're remembering what God has done. Verse 22, surely there was not holding such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel. So think the book of Judges, before the kings, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, the workers with familiar spirits, and the wizards, and the images, and the idols, and all the abominations that were spied in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem did Josiah put away, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all of his might, and according to the law, all the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. In verse number 25, the Lord tells us, now we know that Solomon was the wisest king. We know that. But the Bible tells us that there had never been another king the way that Josiah turned to God, that turned to him with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his might. Everything that the king of Judah could offer, he gave to the Lord. He completely, completely gave himself to the Lord. And God blessed his kingdom for it and withheld judgment and blessed the people. You know, the Lord tells us to do the same thing, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and with all of our soul, with all of our might, with all of who we are, to give ourselves completely to him. So we see demonstrated in this young king that he wanted to give himself to the Lord, and he did give himself to the Lord. And there was never one before him and never any like him. Oh, Josiah was a godly king. Lord still exact judgment. When God pronounces judgment, he follows through with it. He may stay it. He may put it on pause and withhold it for a little while. But he will see it out. God is a just God. God is a an honest God. That's why the words were penned, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves." Humble ourselves. So the application, I guess, to this is one, and I'm looking out, I know not a whole lot of our youth is in here, but seek the Lord when we're young. And there may be a day, I hope I never have to see, I believe there are things in my life that God has extended mercy in my life for. But I have not escaped the consequences, even though He has allowed me to go through them. And His judgment has been a lot less severe than what it could have been. I think about my life when I was young. I was called to preach when I was 12 years old. I remember it. I was at a youth camp. Had nobody said a word to me. I got up at that youth camp and I said, "I believe the Lord's calling me to preach." Nobody was standing in the front saying, "I think the Lord's calling people to preach." None of that was going on. I just stood up and I said, "I believe the Lord's calling me to preach." And my pastor, he said, "Let's go talk." And from 12 to 14, I was okay, man. At least I thought I was. 15, 16, 17, 18 hit. And I went from preacher to I don't even want to be known as that. And then about 19 years old, a smiling, chubby little preacher walked into my home church and just loved me where I was. And God used that man to get a hold of my heart and get me right. And so now here you are sitting here listening to me 20-something years later. I thank God for His mercy. I thank God for His grace. And I thank God for His compassion. I don't know what other things will come in my life, but I know who's got me. And I know who's holding me. I hope I've made sense tonight. And I hope that it's been a help to you. And I know you guys, I want you to know how the devil attacks. If you want to know how you can pray for me specifically, pray that the Lord will allow my mind to stay on topic, on Him. Does that make sense? And not let my mind chase rabbits. All right. I love you. I appreciate each and every one of you, and I'm grateful for you being here tonight. And we are a little bit early. We're 8:09. That'll be all right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Brother Roy, will you dismiss us, please, sir?